It wasn't just Andrew Benintendi today. It was JD Martinez, who has gotten hot.
That ball is gone! What a bullet by Devers!
I love to see the exit velocity on that one.
It's another edition of the TC and Jerry podcast. Tom Karen and Jerry Remy here as the baseball season is now more than a quarter season old already. Seems like we just started a couple weeks ago, Jerry.
Yeah, it just seems that way, but it doesn't feel that way, does it? The way they're playing right now, it seems like a little bit longer than that.
Well, it certainly felt longer like that on Monday night. Sometimes the game is a beautiful thing to watch. Other times you wonder what the hell you are doing watching 4.5 hours, 4 hours and 24 minutes Monday night. Longest 9-inning game at Fenway in over 3 years. 25 base runners for Tampa Bay. Red Sox pitchers threw 199 pitches over the course of the game. Jerry, you've been doing this longer than I have. At what point are you sitting saying, this is just one ugly game?
About the sixth inning last night, I said, this is the worst game that we've had all year by far, and it just got worse after that. And I don't know what time I got home last night, and I couldn't believe it. I said, I can't believe that game took that long, but it felt that long doing it. And, you know, it's these opener games, you know, they're just ridiculous. It's like one pitcher after another coming in, and some guys have it, some guys don't. There were base runners all over the place. I don't know if there was a clean inning in the game where it was a 1-2-3 inning. There might have been one, but there wasn't many at all. It was just a horrible, horrible baseball game to watch last night. Just terrible.
And Tuesday night, you follow up on the other side. I love this. Tampa Bay, Kittredge, who closed out the game on Monday night, is your opener on Tuesday night. So he throws the last pitch of the game on Monday. He'll throw the first pitch of the game on Tuesday.
Yeah, hopefully he faces the same guys he faced last night, you know. But this stuff is just, I don't know. I understand it. I'm starting to understand it a little better over the last couple of years. But it still makes no sense to me. It just means you don't have five quality starters to send out there.
The problem with it is, as I look at it, Jerry, is you watch these games, and if you have, let's say, three starters who are giving you length, and you got to come in with the opener or the bulk guy every fifth day, your bullpen's rested. Now, yeah. I was counting it up. They've used the bullpen. They've gotten, not counting the one inning out of Brazier, let's say he's a starter, okay? That means they've gotten 26 innings out of the bullpen in 5 games. Yeah. So you're averaging 5 to 6 innings every single night, which I think, Jerry, is why – I mean, I don't think Ron Renicki wanted Jeffrey Springs on the mound with a 15.5 ERA in a tie game in the seventh inning. But as he said after the game, Renicki, you can't keep going to Workman and Barnes and Bryce every right. single night when you have the lead or you're in a tie game. So you've got to use some of these other guys. That's how you end up with the wrong matchup in the seventh inning.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you've got to save guys like Barnes and Workman for leads. When you got leads going in late to the game, those are your go-ahead guys. Those are the guys that come in and try to nail it down for you. You don't use those guys in, you know, close games that are late in the game. You just don't do it. You know, unless it's a tie or something like that, that's a different story. But, you know, this whole thing, I don't know what the perfect formula is for it. I guess it's to have a guy open the game and then have a guy that can give you 4 or 5 innings after that. But that hasn't happened for us. You know, it hasn't happened for us. So in a perfect world, I guess that's what the opener means and what comes after it. It's really the guy that comes after it that shuts you down for 3 or 4 or 5 innings. That hasn't happened with the Red Sox, and it's been a total disaster every time we watch it. And last night was just absolutely the most horrid game I think I've ever – I got up from that table where you guys were getting ready to do the post-game show, and I was totally exhausted. And I couldn't remember what happened in the game, for crying out loud.
Well, that was the thing. There were so many – you know, and they still ended up with a chance to win in the ninth inning. You know, you feel happy for Jonathan Araúz. He'll remember this game as one of the greatest games ever played in Major League history because he had his first big league hit. He had 3 hits. But how about that clutch 2-run single in the eighth inning? That's pretty good for a kid who had never had a hit beyond double A entering that night.
Yeah, it surprises me, you know, to make the jump from A ball to the big leagues like he's done. I mean, it's just absolutely remarkable to me, you know, because I think back of my days in the minor leagues and being in that situation in A ball where you played your last full season. And you skip double A, you skip triple A, you come into the big leagues, it's going to be like, wow, what's going on here? I mean, you know, one thing he's probably seeing, pitches with better control than what they have down at that level, which maybe makes him more comfortable at the plate, you know. But it was good to see him get off like that and get, you know, get a couple of hits, get three hits under his belt, you know, contribute to the ball club. And, you know, he looks like he could be a player. I mean, like, he's going to play third base again tonight because Devers is out of there. So, you know, they're not afraid to use him. They know he's got some skills. And that's why they didn't send him back, obviously. They kept him on this roster. And, you know, I think he's a guy that when you look years to come, you know, for the next 3, 4, 5 years, he can contribute quite a bit to this club at many different positions.
Yeah, that's what you're hoping for with a Rule 5 guy, that you landed something who his best year's ahead. And, you know, listen, this year is so strange as far as the 60 games, as far as the Red Sox kind of being in a rebuilding mode. Whatever happens this year happens, but if they came away with a find in him, Martin Perez is a guy who's impressed you. You know, a couple of the relievers, Austin Bryce, I think, has looked really good.
Yes.
Valdez had a little trouble Monday night, but by and large, his stuff has looked really good. So you're kind of looking for the bright spots here. They seem to have found a couple of things along the way.
Yeah, and I think you're also looking for some kind of formula. You know, like Austin Bryce, as you talked about, he's proven that he can go in one of those winning situations in the seventh inning and get out. You know, so I mean, that's big for Ron Renneke to know that you can go, you know, Bryce in the seventh, you can go Barnes in the eighth, you can go Workman in the ninth, you got a pretty good chance of winning that ball game. So, yeah, he's one of the guys that's really impressed me out of the pitching staff. You know, other than that, I mean, it's just throwing guys around in different spots and seeing what they can do. And it's become very frustrating. That, along with the offense, has been frustrating. And, you know, I looked at the thing last night, the standings, and I looked and I said, we're only a couple of games, you know, from being in a second place spot. And I said, you know, I'm looking at this as a big game, and it's only, you know, 2 weeks into the season, but I'm saying these are big games right now. And unfortunately, they lost the ball game and dropped another one back. So, you know, hopefully they can grab a couple of these games against Tampa Bay and you know, who knows what's going to happen at the end of this, you know, with the extra wild card spots, you don't have to play great baseball to get in.
Nope.
And, you know, if they can just put a string together where they win 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 7, you're looking pretty good.
That's right. And they had won 3 out of 4 coming into that Monday night game. That's a frustrating game because it was a winnable game. Then we get news just before the game that Brian Johnson had been given his release after requesting from the team. We'll talk about that in a moment, but let's hear from Chaim Bloom, president of Chief Baseball Officer is the official title, head of baseball operations for the Red Sox. He joined me on the show Tuesday night. Here's what he had to say about the Brian Johnson decision.
Look, I'll start by saying when you have someone, even though I haven't been here for most of it, someone who's been in the organization as long as BJ had and is on top of that a wonderful person, this always comes with some emotions, and I think it led to some of our desire to accommodate his request. I mean, clearly, as we've seen, we've chosen to give some opportunity to some other guys ahead of him. You know, he went to the alternate site and was pitching there, and really wanted to just kind of take stock of everything. And we had a lot of open conversation with him. At the end of the day, you know, he asked for his release so he could have a clean slate to go pursue whatever opportunities there might be elsewhere. And again, in light of what he means to us, in light of his time in the organization, what he's contributed here, we thought the right thing to do was to grant that request.
All right, so Jerry, let's go back to what he said about Brian Johnson. Sounded like he thought he could get an opportunity elsewhere. That opportunity wasn't here. We've heard about Kyle Hart, big lanky left-hander. Kind of gives them what they believe Brian Johnson would give them, but he's younger, he's more controllable, he's cheaper, all of that. You just feel bad for Johnson because it's a roster manipulation situation, right? I mean, it's not that they didn't like him. It's that he didn't have options. They couldn't send him up and down. This is a great kid who has worked his tail off to get everything he could out of this game, and you wish him nothing but the best.
I really do. You know, I respect him a lot for what he's had to go through in life, but personally, as a pitcher, I never saw very much there. I saw a Triple-A pitcher, really, to be honest with you. You know, a very, very average, mediocre fastball, an occasional good curveball. That was his big pitch to get people out. But I never considered him part of a five-man rotation that was going to help you, not even in the five spot. You know, I figured if you needed a spot starter, he's the type of guy that could do that for you. So I think it's better off for him to get a fresh start somewhere else because I think it's run its course here in Boston. He's frustrated because he's not part of the club now. I get that stuff. But also, I look at the talent. And for me, the talent wasn't quite there. It was short. It's short of major league stuff.
And that was my point about Kyle Hart. Hart is a young guy who's actually got about a 3.5 ERA in his career minor leagues over, I think, almost five seasons. Confident kid. He's like, I'm ready to go. I can throw 100 pitches. I whatever you need from me, not just 100 pitches either. Quality pitches. I'm going to come up here and give you quality. But you know, at worst case, is Hart's a number six, like you said, a spot start guy, which is really all Johnson was on this team and probably most teams, except Johnson now 2 years of service. He'd be knocking on the door of arbitration. He suddenly cost you a lot of money. And yeah. I think a guy like that is replaceable by cheaper guys. Again, love the guy, love his perseverance, love his attitude. But the reality is, if you're running a baseball operations, you're looking at what he brings to the table and you're saying, I can get this cheaper and more controllable with other options.
Without question. There's no question about that. And that's exactly why they made the move the way they did. They let him go. And they know that he's replaceable, obviously. And, you know, I do wish him well. You know, he's a nice kid. We got to know him over a few years. You know, he's battled through a lot in his life. And I hope he has success somewhere else. I really do. But I don't think it was going to happen here. I don't think this was the right place for him, the right ballpark for him, to be honest with you. And he had that one brilliant moment where he pitched a game at Fenway Park where his fans were in the stands. And it was, it was kind of electric for him. So hopefully that's a pleasant memory he'll have of Boston anyway. And again, you know, every time his name came up, like as a possible fifth, you know, it didn't excite me. It really didn't excite me. You know, it was kind of the guy that made a living at a AAA playing. If you needed a pitcher because somebody was hurt, you called him up and he tried to make a couple of starts for you. That's how I looked at him.
Well, you know, the Miami Marlins and the St. Louis Cardinals are pretty much looking to replace their entire roster because of COVID. So maybe he'll get a chance with one of those. Let's talk about St. Louis. I hate to have to get into the COVID stuff every week, but that's still the most important thing centering about baseball. It'll be over 2 weeks between games for St. Louis. Teams have played 18, 19 games. They've played five.
Right.
Rob Manfred, in an interview I saw yesterday, said, he actually used the words, I don't think we'll be able to get them to 60 games. Right? So now you're admitting for the first time that teams will have to go by winning percentage. But at what point, Jerry, is it too much? I mean, you can't have a team play 35 games. They've got to be close to 60, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, if it stays like the way it is with teams like St. Louis, I mean, they're going to have to opt out the whole team. I mean, it's crazy because how many doubleheaders can you play? You know, and it's not this winning percentage stuff. I mean, I don't go along with that. The team plays 35 games. I mean, you know, they deserve to be champions of a 60-game or begin the playoffs in a 60-game season. I'm not for that at all. So, but it is what it is. You know, it's so messed up. It's the most weird thing I've ever seen in baseball in my whole life, what's going on this year. And again, I'm still to the point, and it sounds like the players are doing a better job taking care of themselves, but I'm still to the point where I'm watching the thing every morning, see who's coming down with something, what team might have an outbreak. And, you know, it's been quiet for a few days, which is a good sign. So, maybe some of these new protocols are going to help a little bit. You know, we'll see over time. But, believe me, it's tough to keep these players inside. The longer the season goes, it's harder to keep them in wraps because, you know, the stress, just the stress enough of playing wants you to be able to relax and do something on your days off or after games at night. You know, it makes you want to go and have a cocktail and do things like that. That's just the nature of the game. And so it's – what they're asking them to do is pretty demanding right now, and I hope they continue.
I'm telling you, three-inning triple-headers are coming, Jerry. Three innings and play three games.
That'd be great. Then it won't mind an opener.
Yeah, exactly. Then, an opener will go the complete game. It'll be all set. You know, you said you need to go out and have a beer sometimes after a game. Well, obviously, Zach Plesac and Mike Clevenger did that for the Cleveland Indians. How about that scene? One guy gets sent home in a rental car.
Yeah.
They stick him in a car and say, drive back to Cleveland. You're out of here. The other guy comes to the team meeting, gets on the flight. He's defending him, saying you guys came down too hard on him. And then they find out he had gone out with them.
Yeah.
What a mess.
Yeah. You know, we're talking. We got to remember that we're talking about 20-year-old kids and 30-year-old kids. You know, you got to remember that. You know, we're not at that age anymore. So we're a little bit more responsible, I think, than what they are at that age. And I think, you know, that things come up, you know, they come up when you're young and you, You don't feel like anything's going to get you. You know, you just feel like I can go with the flow here and everything's going to be fine. Well, it just doesn't work that way. And that's been proven this year. So, you know, it's head scratching what we're going through. It really is head scratching. Like I said last night, this team has got off to a not a good start at all, but I'm looking at two games out of second place in the right. American League East. I'm saying, you got to be kidding me, you know.
But that's the best, Jerry, that's the best thing about the expanded playoff pool. This season is so wacky anyway. Keep everybody in the hunt. Give everybody a reason to stay in and watch these games because they're nuts anyway. It's like I've said it all along. It's not a season. It's a tournament. This is a 2020 tournament. Next year, we'll get back to having a season. So you might as well make it easier. And now, the latest talk, and I love this, is that you get to the playoffs, they'll move you to a bubble, which I think is they're going to have to do. It's going to be fall. I guess the talk is you would still play that best of three at the higher seed because that's too many teams, right? So you'd have 16 teams in the playoffs, two out of three and all at one ballpark. Then you have eight teams remaining in each league. They go to California or somewhere and hunker down, and you play out the playoffs like the hockey and basketball are doing.
You're exactly right. It's worked for hockey and it's worked for basketball. They've had like no positive tests at all. So whatever they're doing it right. And to the players' credit, they're doing what they're supposed to do. Because, you know, as I said, it's not easy sitting around your room all day like that and going out and playing. So, that was a pretty good idea what I saw in the paper today. You know, probably move the playoffs to a bubble and avoid all this stuff. Make sure you can get through it and make it as entertaining as possible. Like, I'm all for everything this year. Whatever they want to throw at us, that's fine. You know, some of it will work, some of it won't work. But the fact is, why not find out this year? Because it's a total mess anyway. So we might as well find out, you know, the things that are going to work. Well, it's funny, we haven't had a game yet with a man at second base, extra innings. We haven't played one yet. Now, we'll probably play one tonight, you know, because I mentioned that. But the fact is, we haven't had one of those yet. So I can't make a judgment on it yet because I haven't seen it. But I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm see how it works. Because that would be very interesting. That could eliminate a lot of 17, 16, 15-inning games.
Right. Yeah, it's been real popular when it's happened. I'm looking forward to seeing it as well. I'm glad it didn't happen last night because 4.5 hours was enough. It was time to put that to bed.
We called timeout last night. That was it.
Take a tie. If they tied it up, just take a tie and go home. We'll see you again tomorrow. All right, I want to hit some important topics off baseball before we go. First of all, the Bruins. We haven't seen them much. They haven't played well since the break. We got the Bruins on Nesson. Taking on the Carolina Hurricanes, team they took care of last year in the playoffs. You're a big hockey guy, Jerry. People don't understand how close you are to the sport. So tell me what you think about this series.
Well, I've been in Nesson here since 1 o'clock, and I've had a lot of hockey people come around me, and they tell me they're calling Bruins in six. Ooh. Bruins in six. Now, I'm a little concerned about that because I do know the Hurricanes were a very good team, and the Bruins haven't played very well in their games leading up to this point. But maybe – you know, if it clicks, if one game clicks, maybe they can get back to where they were before, the pause. And it should be a heck of a series. But I'm hearing from inside sources here, Bruins in six. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Now, but during the baseball game, will you get to look over it all? Are you going to yell skate? They're not skating. Are you going to give me some skating advice during the game?
Yeah, skate your lane. Skate your lane, back check, all that stuff. All my favorites.
I used to love it when Bob Kurtz used to do the play-by-play. And, of course, I was actually listening to him a couple nights ago in the car. He's doing the Minnesota Wild still on radio. Bob Kurtz used to ask you about hockey in the early days. You go, oh, they're not skating. No, they're not skating tonight.
They're not skating. They're not skating.
You always sound like you know what you're talking about. You go, oh, they're not skating. They got their skating legs on.
I enjoy the game, but it's like all other professional sports. I really don't understand it that well. And I need an analyst there explaining things to me. You know, and that goes for basketball, goes for football, goes for hockey. Yeah, I pick up a couple of buzzwords, you know, but I still don't know what a nickel defense is. I have no idea what that is in football. I still don't know what it is, but I think it's when they put five defensive backs in the backfield.
I think that's it. I love it when the nickel package is coming in. You're like, what is that? Just package, five new guys. Yeah, nickel package. All right, so what about – that was the other thing I wanted to hit you on. What about college football? Now, we're kind of isolated from that. It's not a big deal here in New England. It's not. And I wouldn't say I'm a huge college football fan at all. But I do love having it on a Saturday afternoon. You know, I like being able to flip over to a big game at Michigan or a game in the SEC or ACC. Sounds like most, if not all of them, are considering shutting it down. What do you think about that?
Well, I get my information from Dave, you know, who does the ACC games. And he's of a different opinion almost every day. You know, he's making a lot of phone calls to try to find out what's going on. And then one day he'll come in very negative and say, it looks like it's not going to happen. And then some days he'll come in and say, well, this league's going to play, but that league's not going to play. But I have serious doubts about it. When you get that number of kids, you know, in uniform, and they wouldn't, college teams in the big schools have 100 kids in uniform, right? I mean, yeah. How is that going to be possible? How are they going to, you know, using the same locker room and all that stuff? I don't know. It seems very difficult to me. And I can't even imagine college football without people in the stands. You know, we're getting through baseball with it. But can you imagine the atmosphere, you know, missing that atmosphere in college football to watch a college football game? I mean, I think it would be very strange.
Well, and as we do this, the Big Ten has just canceled football, which is the first shoe to drop. So Big Ten has canceled it. Breaking news here on the TC and Jerry podcast, though it won't be breaking news by the time you hear this. But, that's once one goes, I think others are going to go. We'll see if they all go. One conference might decide, listen, we can get all this TV money because we'll be the only show in town. I wouldn't be surprised if either the SEC or ACC decide to hang in on their own just to get that TV revenue. But you know what I worry about, Jerry? Listen, we saw Eduardo Rodriguez, young, fit guy in very good shape, come down with a heart issue. I can't imagine some of these 330-pound linemen.
Right.
If they have a heart issue, I mean, that's a whole different body that you're dealing with.
And here. The liability the school's going to go through and all that. I mean, right. I see this. We just mentioned the Big Ten going down. I see a tumble effect now going right through college football. I really do. And you know, the places where you're talking about, the SEC and all that, those are in high COVID areas right now. I mean, they're really bad. So, I mean, I don't know what they're thinking and what's taking so long. I think they're hoping that they can get through it, but it just doesn't seem feasible to me that they're going to be able to do that. And there's been a lot of talk they got to put some of this off till the springtime. So that would be totally different, you know. Right. Where would college baseball go? I mean, wouldn't be much excitement in it.
Right, yeah. Right. And now we got to compete with that. Baseball's got to compete with that on Saturdays.
Right.
That's all you need. And then finally, I wanted to touch on something. People know you and I are pretty good friends. We have a nice relationship. But there's a little tension behind the scenes at Nesson, okay? I like the studio cold, okay? I mean, I want to get that right out there, okay? You don't like the studio cold. And so what we're trying to find the happy medium here between you guys and us guys. And I think we're getting closer, but I'm going to say it was a little bit warm last night in the studio, Jerry. Okay.
Well, I noticed this when I walked in last night, it was warmer. There was no question about that. But I also did notice that about three innings before you guys were ready to come back in, it got a little bit cooler. So maybe they were cooling it down for your show.
There you go.
But I'll tell you, it was just really one night. We were in there last
the week. Other night, Saturday night, and it was a wind chill of 10 below.
It was unbelievable in there. So I'm always making sure I bring either a sport coat or an extra jacket with me just in case, so I'm ready for anything. But but it's still very comfortable. And you know, as you know, TC, you know, we've been bragging about this right along. What a great job they've done. For all of us here at Nesson, and we're so thankful for that, because it's such a comfort to be able to do the games from where we're doing them, cold or warm. The fact is that we're pulling it off, and I'm so proud of that.
Well, you mentioned the Bruins. You know what we're going to do today, Tuesday, is nothing short of miraculous. You know, you're going to have Jack and Brick calling a game next to you guys calling a game, Dale and his guys doing intermissions, me and Steve and Jim doing our studio. I mean, all of this coming out of basically, you know, a 40-yard square.
Right.
About a couple hundred feet square down the hall at Nesson. And it's been put together beautifully. We can't – too many people to mention, but the producers and the audio technicians and the graphics people, everybody who has come together to make this happen, it's really seamless. It has worked far better than I ever thought it could. I thought there'd be a lot of hiccups, and it's been almost seamless.
We haven't had a hiccup yet, you know. I got to tell you, in 33 years that I've been doing this, this is the most relaxed I've ever been doing games, because, you know, when you're at the ballpark, and we will be back at the ballpark, obviously, someday, but the fact is, you know, there's always action going on. There's no time to really sit and think or be quiet or be by yourself. Here, it's just miraculous. I come in here early in the afternoon. I'm by myself. I get a lot of work done. And then you know, Eck joins us and Dave joins us, and we have nice conversation, which we never would have at the ballpark. And it's just real nice. And what I'm really hoping for is road games go away. That's what I'm hoping for, because there is no reason in the world for us to have to travel on the road at any point when you got a setup like this, because this is like being right at the ballpark. It's outstanding. It's the less stress I've had in 33 years.
Well, I've always said it, you know, we do the road games in the studio for pre and post games. John, I've always said, I'm able to focus much more on the games when they're on the road, because you come in, you focus on the game, right. You go over your notes, it's all about the game. When you're at the stadium, it's great. You feed off the energy, all of that. But there's a million distractions that go along with that.
So. You're exactly right.
Well, there you go. We filled it all out. Try not to keep it too warm tonight, all right? We appreciate that.
Tom, sorry to interrupt. Tom, Jerry, sorry to interrupt. This is Fred. I produced a podcast for TC and Jerry. I just want to take the chance to say congrats, Tom, on 25 years at Nesson. I know the boys were talking about it in the broadcast the other night, but we want to mention in the podcast as well, man. Congrats. It's a heck of an accomplishment.
Thank you. I got 10 years to catch up to Jerry. Jerry, thank you for all of that the other day. Fred, I appreciate that. The wrist is still available for anybody watching the podcast. They want to send me that gold watch up right here. It was humbling. It was a wonderful little celebration. The cool thing about it, you know, Jerry, you've been through things like this. The great thing about it is how many people I heard from. You know, you hear from people I worked with years ago and friends I haven't talked to in a long time. It's a great little stroll down memory lane. It reminds you how lucky we are to work with so many talented people, because I've heard from a lot of them.
That's exactly right. You know, sometimes we have days where we're a little bit down, but when you put the big picture together here, we got a pretty good life that we're living. And, you know, it's a real accomplishment for you to be here 25 years and what you've done. And you're a master at doing everything. You know, it doesn't mean just baseball. It's hockey. It's whatever they ask you to do, podcasts, whatever you can do, you do it. And I always said, you know, TC wakes up in the morning, that mind's spinning 1,000 miles an hour. So you're one of the hottest workers I've ever been around, and I appreciate everything you've ever done.
Thank you, Jerry. It means a lot to me. Thank you, Fred, and thanks, everyone, for listening. Go Bruins. Well, next week we'll recap the first round of the Bruins as well as get you caught up on the Red Sox. Jerry, I'll see you in a few minutes. Thanks, buddy.
All right, skate over here.
They're not skating. That's the TC and Jerry podcast. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening.